Support for WPR comes from Lake Superior Big Top Chautauqua in Bayfield, presenting Them Cooley Boys, Tin Can Gin, and Molly Brandt, Saturday, September 14th at 7. Tickets and info are at bigtop.org.
Support for WPR comes from Ephraim Door County, welcoming visitors to experience the fall colors in authentic Door County while they shop, dine, play, and stay in the Harborside Village. Ephraim-DoorCounty.com.
The following program is pre-recorded. From Buck Studio at Wisconsin Public Radio, this is Zorba Pastor on Your Health. I'm Tom Clark here again with Family Doc Zorba Pastor to talk with you about what's new in healthy living, share some down-to-earth advice and great lifestyle tips to help you get the most out of life. If you have a question for the good doc, the number to call is 800-462-7413. And along with your calls, we have some topics to talk about, Zorba.
Yeah, we're going to talk about depression and serotonin levels because a lot of antidepressants actually affect serotonin levels. Where's the science behind it and what does that research mean? And we're also going to talk about shingles vaccine. And the fact is, who's getting it, who's not getting it, and should we be rolling it out more? And while we're at it, we'll talk about other vaccines that are very important for your health, my health, and everybody's health. Mm.
And what's our special recipe today?
Thai-style beef with basil. Tom, you love beef, right?
Yeah, I like beef.
And you like Asian food. You like Thai food.
I do.
Yeah. So you will like this recipe. And you know what you'll like about this recipe? It's simple. It's simple enough so that you could make it at home for Monica. Now, that would be a first-timer. Could you? You could do that.
No, don't tell Monica. Don't say anything. Let's get to the phones. 800-462-7413. That's 1-800-462-7413. Let's welcome our first caller who joins us from Rice Lake, Wisconsin. Hi.
Hi. Thanks for taking my call. My question is, I just recently I visited to the hospital, and they're recommending that I have a pacemaker. Of course, they're doing all the tests and everything first to make sure. But
okay,
so about the past 8 years, my heart rate has dropped to 30 beats a minute.
30 beats a minute. That is really low. And at 30 beats a minute, sometimes that is not compatible with life. That is really low. Got it.
Yeah, that's their concern, especially during sleep time. Yeah, they did a sleep study. Mm-hmm. I haven't talked to them about the results of that yet. Mm-hmm. But the weird thing is, I haven't really been going to the doctor most of my life. I'm almost 60 years old, but this started about 8 years ago, where it would drop to 30 beats a minute, and then it'll be like that for a couple of years, and it'll go back to normal 65 beats a minute.
Are you an athlete, by the way? Are you an athlete? Would you call yourself an athlete?
At one time I was, as far as I lived out in the wilderness, the Boundary Waters, northern Minnesota.
Oh.
And,
sweet.
9 months of the year I was paddling, snowshoeing, skiing, and
I would definitely put it in the cardiovascular robust study at that time. So athletes are people who do a lot of cardiovascular behavior. You lived in the Boundary Waters, you did much, often will have a low heart rate, but it's a low heart rate can mean that they're healthy. But if you're not doing that, it can mean something different. So how can we help?
So I was kind of curious about the modern technology of pacemaker things like that. I'm not really worried about having it done. I mean, it's 30 beats a minute. That's pretty dangerous.
It is dangerous. You bet. Yeah. Well, let me tell you, when Tom and I were kids, and Tom, it was a long time ago, right? So when Tom and I were kids, the initial pacemakers were the size of a hockey puck. I mean, that literally was the size. They were very, very big. They had batteries that did not last very long. They had to be replaced, I don't know if it was every year or two, quite a lot. And now they're incredible. I mean, they're lithium-based batteries. They last for many, many years. I think the newer ones last for up to 10 years now. They're incredibly complex. There are computers with chips in them that do incredible things, so they can be programmed and reprogrammed without actually moving the pacemaker, and they're wonderful. So the technology of it is just like the technology of the phone. Think about the first cell phones. The first cell phones were in your car. You know, that's how much energy they needed in the car. Then they were bag phones. Then they were, if they're portable, they were the size of a brick and weighed about 4 or 5 pounds. And now, you know, cell phones are really teeny tiny. And the cell phones that you carry in the pocket, like the iPhone, have 5 billion transistors in them. They're amazing. Mm-hmm. So the new technology is amazing. The real issue was, if they're recommending a pacemaker, what are they waiting for?
They did a stress test last weekend. Mm-hmm. About 8 years ago, I was able to get my heart rate up to 146 beats a minute. Mm-hmm. So this time I got up to 121, mm-hmm. and their target was to be at 137. Mm-hmm. So. Yeah, but I have COPD, so I got 50% lung capacity.
Oh, did you smoke cigarettes?
Yeah, dumping. Uh-huh. I started when I was a kid, you know.
Yeah, that's right, yeah. So that's it. So yeah. My recommendation, bottom line, my recommendation is if they recommend a pacemaker, get it. And the other recommendation is get it done. In other words, if you need a pacemaker, get it done. And if you're unsure and you have a question about the cardiologist that you're looking at, you always look at a second opinion. But if you've got a rate down in the 30s, then my question would be, okay, they've done a stress test. They want to know what kind of a pacer to put in. You want to schedule it and get it done, because 30, even though it's been there for a long time, your body's getting older. The risk of sudden death is greater and greater the older we get. The biggest cause of death is age. And when you've got a low heart rate, that makes it even worse. So.
Yeah. Plus, I'm very short of energy the last couple of years, you know.
Oh, I bet with COPD and a pacer problem, you would do. You'll feel much better with a good pacemaker. So, well, good luck to you.
Well, thank you. I appreciate your taking my call and good advice.
Thanks for your call. Thank you.
Yeah, we do appreciate the call. Thanks. 800-462-7413.
You know, one of the things I think we do in the show is people then talk to us and they get to kind of listen to an interaction. And it's that interaction that kind of helps them get and make a decision. And hopefully we've helped him, because he wanted to know a little bit about the modern technology, which for pacemakers is awesome.
We're going to talk about depression now, Zorba. No evidence that depression is caused by low serotonin levels finds comprehensive review.
Well, it's kind of interesting. So first of all, about 20 years ago, it might have been actually 30 years ago, there were a new group of antidepressants which were more tolerated more easily, called SSRIs, selective serotonin reuptake inhibitors. And these drugs, Prozac was the first drug in the class made by Lilly. You had Prozac, Zoloft, Celexa, Lexapro, and citalopram, and all these drugs increase serotonin levels by decreasing the reuptake of serotonin. And the theory has been, hey, that's how these drugs work. I mean, they work because they increase serotonin levels. Mm-hmm. Well, according to this particular study, that may be not how these drugs work. They looked at sort of a number of things, and I kind of questioned the study and what this is about. But research on serotonin and the transporter levels and what that's been has been around for a long time. So there was a meta-analysis over the years, where they took people who were normal people and they reduced the serotonin in their body by reducing basically some of the food that they ate that actually produces serotonin. These were healthy people. Their serotonin levels dropped, and they wanted to see whether or not they became depressed. And guess what? They didn't become depressed. They didn't become depressed. So there were normal people where they reduced the serotonin levels and they didn't become depressed. Well, that doesn't mean anything, because maybe serotonin levels in normal people, whether they're high or low, maybe it doesn't mean anything, because we don't understand really how these things work. Then they looked at other studies which looked at basically adults and teenagers. They looked at the serotonin levels. They measured the serotonin levels, and it didn't necessarily follow whether they were depressed or not on these drugs. So the bottom line is, this new evidence shows that selective serotonin reuptake inhibitors that affect serotonin, well, it may not be the serotonin that's actually causing them, you know, causing to help their depression. okay, maybe it's something else. Or maybe we're not measuring serotonin receptors. When I look at this, it just reminds me how it's a shot in the dark. We know so little about mental health.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? We think we know something about mental health, but we know so little about mental health. And yet we have drugs that may help us with mental health, like SSRIs. And then we think, oh, it's the serotonin we're actually affecting. And according to this study, it may not be. So I think the study is interesting, but I don't think it has any worth because we know SSRIs really do help people. And so it's not garbage science. It just shows us kind of what we think we know about how we're affecting the biochemical makeup of our brain. Maybe what we really don't know, it's more complex. The brain is too complex for us to understand.
But it sort of doesn't matter.
Correct. It doesn't matter because the drugs work. That you hit it right on the head. It sort of doesn't really matter, right? Because we know the drugs actually help people. I mean, we know many, many people who take SSRIs are really helped. I prescribe them every day in my office. I have a lot of people who say, I feel normal when they're on the drug, and they don't feel normal when they're not on the drug, and they work. And these drugs don't get you high. So, yeah. The bottom line is, it doesn't matter. The drugs work. Thank you for doing the research.
1-800-462-7413.
Science marches on.
Give us a call if you have a question for Zorba.
Or if you have a theory as to why SSRI antidepressants work, please send that information, Zorba at WPR.org. We're looking for a genius answer to this question.
And we have a voicemail now, Zorba, from New York.
I was just listening to the kidney stone segment, and I was wondering if somebody was to drink instead of regular water, drink distilled water, if that would kind of keep the minerals from forming, because, you know, if you ran distilled water through our city lines, the water would be looking to, you know, get minerals and things out of the pipes, and it would eat the pipes pretty quick, you know, having no minerals to be like a neutral thing there. Thank you. Bye.
That's a really good question. Tom, have you ever tasted distilled water?
No.
Well, I have. I've tasted this. In fact, I should actually bring it in someday.
Does it taste different than
yes. That? Carl, have you ever tasted distilled water?
No, I haven't. No.
It tastes flat. I have no idea what that means.
Flat.
You know what? Tastes flat. We're going to bring in, on a future segment, we are going to taste distilled water. It tastes different than regular water. There are minerals in regular water that give it, it's described as flat, and that's what I would describe it as. Kind of a good question, whether or not the minerals in the water. I've never seen a study where they've taken people with kidney stones and said, you can't have any regular water, you have to have distilled water. One of the problems is, a lot of the food we eat, that you have is made with water. I mean, last night I made a delicious dish that I got off of the Wall Street Journal website that was a lemon pasta, and I had to use water from the sink to make the pasta. Well, I wouldn't use distilled water. First of all, it's kind of expensive to use, and in order to do it, you would actually have to drink distilled water for maybe years to do it because kidney stones don't come on. So you'd have to bring your gallons of distilled water with you when people are sitting down and you're having water at a restaurant. You'd have to pull out your gallon and say, I'm only drinking distilled water. So there's not a study, but you'd have to do it. But it's an interesting thought. I have no idea whether or not that would make a difference because we kind of don't understand why some people develop kidney stones and other people do not. But good point. Study's not done, and the study will never happen.
Okay.
Science marches on, it doesn't march on in this case.
Our number is 800.
You found that funny, didn't you? Well, kind of.
I wish I could remember. Oh, yeah, it's 800-462-7413. Before we take a break, Zorba, we always love hearing from the grammar police, but here's a new one. The email came to us from a very seldom heard from division of the grammar police. And Zorba, you must have been talking about mustard because this infraction is from the mustard police.
Mustard.
The following email came to us from a listener named Steve in Beaver Dam, Arizona, who writes...
Beaver Dam, Arizona. We have a Beaver Dam, Wisconsin.
I know. I was thinking... Is this a misprint?
Philadelphia cream cheese is made in Beaver Dam, Wisconsin. I thought I'd let you know that. It should be called Beaver Dam cream cheese.
Our listener writes, hello, I would like to gently point out that what distinguishes stone ground mustard is not its color, but rather its texture. There are many brown mustards, perhaps most, which are not stone ground, but instead have the same smooth consistency as yellow mustard or Dijon. Stone ground mustard is different. It's much coarser, and you can see the mustard is packed with bits of seed. I guess the name derives from the fact that stone milling produces a coarser texture than milling with steel.
Okay. Thank you for letting me know. I didn't know that. But very interesting. I mean, the consistency is sort of a texture thing, so I need it. Obviously, they named it stone ground at some point because they must have – they must have named it for a reason. You know what we don't have? We don't have a subunit of the trademark police within the grammar police to tell us how they came up with the name stone ground for the mustard. It doesn't make any sense. Why would they put stone in a must in a in that? You know what? Somebody has the answer to this, and you know what? I bet you they will email us.
You know what? I don't care. Do you think Zorba needs to catch up on his mustard knowledge? Let us know by posting on our Facebook page or by sending us an email at
Zorba@WPR.org. And I hope you make that email heartfelt so Tom can care.
More of your calls coming up, more of your emails, and we'll be cooking up some tasty Thai-inspired food. All of that coming up on Zorba Pastor on Your Health from PRX, the Public Radio Exchange. I'm Clark with Family Doc Zorba Pastor here on Zorba Pastor on Your Health. That number again, 1-800-462-7413. But Zorba, before our next call, Thai-style beef with basil.
And you like beef.
Yeah.
Yeah. And you like Thai food. You like Asian food.
Yeah.
Yeah. This actually is a good recipe. And the nice thing about this recipe is it's simple. Now, I don't mean you have to be a simpleton to actually make the recipe, but it's a simple recipe. You know, sometimes we have recipes with like a whole laundry list of things, right?
Yeah, yeah.
I mean, I like to make complex recipes, but I think simple is also good. And this one is very tasty, easy to do, easy to make. You have to get the right ingredients, so that can take a little bit of shopping, but it's very simple. So, shall we make it?
Yes.
Okay. So start out with 2 tablespoonfuls of olive oil or any vegetable oil.
Too little tea, olive oil, or vegetable oil.
Now, lately, I have been using peanut oil when I'm basically sautéing or doing things in the wok, because we have 4 kids, and our son Eli married Sha. She's Chinese, and most Chinese oil that is used is peanut oil because it has a higher temperature when it smokes. It's like 400 or 425. You know, oils smoke at a different temperature, which I never even thought about, but olive oil starts to smoke at a lower temperature than peanut oil. So if you're going to be using this, you may want to use peanut oil. Mm-hmm. And by the way, when I shop for peanut oil, If I shop in the right grocery stores, I will buy a big gallon of it and then put it in a small container, because small containers of peanut oil cost much more per ounce than large containers of peanut oil. And I mention this because in this time of inflation, and especially inflation in the grocery store, I think looking at those things is really critically important. I mean, I think that's...
You are really an interesting person.
I don't know if I'm interesting.
Yeah.
Coming up with saving money. One tablespoon of, one pound of ground beef, 90% lean if you can.
Pound of ground beef, 90% lean if you can.
Yeah, bell pepper thinly sliced. Green one, red one, yellow one. Green ones are always the cheapest one. Ought to be fresh.
One bell pepper, thinly sliced.
Thinly sliced. Thinly slice a sweet onion, a nice onion.
A sweet onion, thinly sliced.
Can be yellow, can be red, can be white, whatever you want to look at. White onions are, of course, more gentle. They don't have the same olfaction or what you smell in a white onion. But red onions look pretty nice. Six garlic cloves minced. Want to mince them?
Six garlic cloves minced?
Yeah, you can put it through a garlic press. Monica probably has a garlic press in her house. In your house, you're just laughing.
I doubt it.
You doubt it. One cup of loosely packed fresh basil leaves. And you can often buy in Asian grocery store, basil is much cheaper 90% of the time than in a regular grocery store. But you need a cup.
A cup of loosely packed fresh basil leaves.
And cilantro, if you like cilantro.
And if you don't, then no cilantro.
Right. Then no cilantro. Yeah. You got it. You liked that, didn't you? You liked it. That's a good job. Now with the sauce. Here's the sauce. A tablespoonful of chili paste, Asian chili paste.
Little tea chili paste.
Two tablespoonfuls of low sodium or light, as it's called, soy sauce. If you don't have it, regular soy sauce is fine, but it has more sodium in it.
To little tea, sodium, soy sauce.
A tablespoonful of fish sauce. Now, this is very important. There are many, many different kinds of fish sauce, kind of like there are different kinds of ketchup. So you want to pick a fish sauce that is appropriate for you. So, for instance, if you buy a fish sauce in a regular grocery store, it will be more gentle, not quite as tangy as a fish sauce in an Asian grocery store. But if you go into an Asian grocery store, ask the proprietor which fish sauce is good for you. And believe it or not, they are very, very different from start to finish. So, tablespoonful of fish sauce.
A tablespoonful fish sauce.
That's right. Tablespoonful of ground sugar.
Tablespoon brown sugar.
Now, how do you keep your brown sugar from clumping up and becoming a rock in your pantry, Tom?
I don't have any there.
So you don't have any there, so that's the way you do it. Yeah. But there are these little ceramic things that you can put into brown sugar that keep it moist. Mm-hmm. And you take them. I bought one probably a year ago. And you take it, you soak it in water, and then you put it in a little plastic bag with brown sugar, and it keeps the brown sugar moist. Because otherwise it dries out and becomes a rock. Do you ever cook with brown sugar, Carl?
Just if I'm making oatmeal for the kids, I'll put a little brown sugar on.
Yeah. There. Does it ever become a rock?
Yeah, it's usually clumpy. The other trick, remember we learned on a previous show, is to keep it in the freezer.
Oh, right. That is a good idea. Oh, have you done that yet?
No.
And neither have I. But moving on, that is enough. But actually, it really is an issue with brown sugar. And two tablespoonfuls of fresh lime juice. You've got to get it from a lime. The reconstituted stuff isn't good.
Yeah, two big tea fresh lime juice.
Let's make it.
Yeah.
So in a small bowl, combine, you're going to make the sauce, chili paste, soy sauce, fish sauce, brown sugar, and lime juice till it's incorporated. Mix it around, put it aside. Now, heat the oil in a large skillet, preferably peanut oil, over medium-high heat. Add the ground beef, cook until brown, breaking it up with a spoon, stirring it often. Then add the bell pepper, onion, garlic, and beef, to the beef rather, cook it until the veggies start to soften about 5 minutes. Then pour the sauce in along with the fresh basil. Make sure the basil is really torn up, got to tear up those leaves. Continue baking until the basil starts to wilt. That won't take very long at all. Very short amount of time. Scoop it out over rice. Put a little fresh basil on the top of it and fresh cilantro if you like cilantro. And enjoy. Easy recipe, simple recipe, something that you can really cook on the weekday instead of the weekend when you are just hungry and want to have some good stuff. Mm. And Tom, where can we get this recipe? We don't have Gigi to send it out anymore. She's, how many years ago was Gigi sending these out? Right.
So nobody can ever get
Can get this unless they go to the internet, zorbapastor.org. That's zorbapastor.org. And don't forget, you can find it in Facebook. On Facebook. You're smiling. What can you say?
What can I say? 800-462-7413 is our number. Question for Zorba, 1-800-462-7413. Now, Zorba, we welcome a listener in Richland Center, Wisconsin. Hi.
Hello. I wish you lived in Richland Center because I'd love to talk more with you. And in maybe 5 years, we'll have a new hospital here.
That would be very nice. That would be very nice. From your mouth to God's ears. That's what my mother used to say.
How can we help you?
Yes, I'm a 63-year-old male. I'm 6'1½", 195 pounds, in fairly good health, except for it's the time when my chestnut and water tank are not best friends.
Your chestnut and water tank are not your best what's that
my
about?
My prostate and bladder. Okay. So anyway, I have a different question. That's a whole new subject. But I lost my balance and fell off a ladder about 3 rungs up. Mm-hmm. And landed on my ankle, fracturing the medial malleolus bone.
Malleolus.
In 3 places.
Mm-hmm. Oh, bummer.
Yes. A neighbor thinks I should take calcium supplements to help with healing. Mm-hmm. Another neighbor, a nurse practitioner, says synthetic supplements are not absorbed into the body. Mm-hmm. I drink about 24 to 30 ounces of milk a day.
That's a lot of milk.
Yeah.
That's a quart of milk a day.
Cold milk with cereal and whenever.
Yeah, that's a quart of milk. That's a lot of milk for somebody your age.
Okay. Mm-hmm. So I'm just wondering what your thoughts on that. Is it true that synthetic supplements aren't helpful?
Well, first of all, let's talk about calcium. There's nothing synthetic about calcium. It's an element. So it's nothing. It's something that's not synthetic. It's as natural as you can be. It's not organic. It's inorganic. But, I mean, calcium is natural. And when you take a calcium tablet, you are simply taking chalk. I mean, that's what you're doing, and it's natural. And it is absorbed into your body. So the nurse practitioner is wrong. It's definitely there. Now, the question is, from a calcium point of view, which is better for you to take? Well, there's some evidence that calcium from food is absorbed differently than taking calcium tablets. There is some good evidence for that. So I tell people, it should be a mixture. A container of yogurt is 400 milligrams. I don't know. I'd have to look up. I don't know how many milligrams of calcium there are in a quart of milk. It's a lot of milk, and it's a lot of milk at your age. But if you decide you want to get your calories through that, I see no problem with it. But in either case, I don't know how much calcium. And when you're recovering from it, it is a good idea to take more calcium and make sure you probably get about 1,500 milligrams a day. So you can Google calcium and milk on the web, come up with a number, and you can supplement with inorganic calcium. You know, one Tums. Tums are easy. They taste kind of good. I don't think they taste bad. You can take a 500 milligram Tums tablet, one or two a day, and that'll help supplement it. But getting calcium through food is a great idea.
I think milk is 30 milligrams for 8 ounces.
That's not very much. So, but a calcium, as I say, a container of yogurt contains about 400 milligrams of calcium, roughly. So I would have a container of yogurt every day. Why do you drink so much milk?
I don't know. It's just ever since I've kid, I've enjoyed drinking milk. It may not be that daily, but like at breakfast time with cereal, I'll have close to 8 ounces. And at lunch or noon, I'll probably have another 8 ounces. Mm-hmm. It just seems to help keeping me hydrated more than just water.
I've got to tell you, first of all, it's a caloric drink, so you have to look at your overall calories. But it's such a Wisconsin drink, you know. And it used to be when we were on an airline, you know, I remember when I went to Continental Airlines with my mother and the stewardess said to me, coffee, tea, or milk? And she looked at me, and that's what they used to serve. Mm-hmm. They used to just coffee, tea, or milk. And then I've had friends who visit us from out of town, and they never came to Wisconsin. And, you know, and we went out to dinner. And I remember one of the friends who was a ski buddy, Bill Niedermeyer, said, you know, when they came out, they had apple pie. And he said, oh, I'll have a glass of milk with it. And the other guy looked at him and said, milk? You're drinking milk at your age? And Bill, as a Wisconsin boy, said, of course, what's wrong with a glass of milk? So we all had milk with our apple pie. And you know what? Tasted mighty good. It's tasted. Tom, do you ever drink milk?
I haven't had a glass of milk in decades.
In decades. Yeah. So you don't drink any milk at all.
Moving right along.
Well, anyway, getting back to the answer, yes, a calcium supplement is going to help along, but make sure you have some regular calcium. And be careful on those ladders. Once you're over the age, once you're at an older age, be careful.
Yeah, I think my days on a ladder are done. I'll get some young kid to do that.
You got it.
Good idea
to hire the young. Well, thanks for your call.
You're welcome. Thanks for taking my call.
You're welcome. Bye-bye.
Bye.
800-462-7413 is our number, 1-800-462-7413. And Zorba, we have a voicemail now from Florida.
Hi, Dr. Zorba. I was just wondering if you had any information on kratom. Thank you. Love your show.
What is it?
Kratom. K-R-A-T-O. You haven't heard of kratom?
I don't think so.
Well, you are not hip. I mean,
I knew you're that. I've known that for decades.
Right, that's exactly it. You are not hip, you know. Yeah. You know, and basically, you know, people who use it swear it's a mood enhancement. It reduces fatigue. You know, it's a wonderful thing to have. Well, what happens? It's outlawed in a number of states. By the way, it's outlawed. It's sort of not in the same class as marijuana, but it's outlawed. And it's an extract from the leaves of an evergreen tree that comes from Southeast Asia. And it can be swallowed, it can be brewed, its extract is in a liquid product, is used for muscle pain, to suppress appetite, stop cramps, diarrhea, increase energy, sold as a treatment for panic attacks. A lot of other, you know, it's like a lot of other remedies where it just does everything for everybody. And we don't really know how it works. It's believed that it may act on opioid receptors because it does work as a stimulant. And for some people, it does make people euphoric. And then other people say, well, it's natural. So when it's natural, it must be good. And There's such a bunch of garbage with that. When people say, well, it's natural, it must be good. Well, opioids are natural and they're not good for everybody, right?
Yeah.
I mean, they're good for pain. And marijuana is natural. And if you don't want to get stoned and you eat marijuana, you know, you smoke the leaves, you eat them, it's not good for you. I mean, so it's an inebriant. It is natural, meaning because it's grown from that. But it really has some problems. And a couple of years ago, in 38 states, it was found to have salmonella, and there were 35 deaths linked to salmonella-tainted kratom. Mm. So in other words, because it's not regulated and it's natural and people were swallowing it, it turned out that there was salmonella in it that came from somewhere. So I think buyer beware. I mean, I think it's one of those situations where if you're going to take it, assume it's an inebriant. It may work for you or it may not work for you. It's not regulated. And just because it's natural doesn't mean it's safe for you. You know, and there sometimes some people have this wacky idea that if it's natural, it's okay.
Yeah.
You know, and if it's synthetic, it's not okay. And it's not true. All natural things are not good for you and are not okay for you.
Interesting. 800-462-7413 is our number. That's 800-462-7413. Before the break now, Zorba, time again to kick off our comfy sneakers and trudge our way through the muddy ravines of medical
muddy
quackery.
Ravines.
This is Quacking Up with Dr. Zorba. Okay, Zorba, the following email came from Steve in Madison, Wisconsin. Dr. Zorba, I've been meaning to ask you this for a long time. When I was growing up in Oregon coast in the 1950s, where it's cold and wet, I always got a cold shot. My mother insisted that it helped my immunity to a cold virus. What was it? Or was the doctor brewing up something in the back room?
Quack, quack, quack.
It was vitamin B12. That's generally what they gave as a cold shot. Oh. It was vitamin B12, and sometimes it was mixed with other stuff. I don't know exactly what it was, but it was mixed with other stuff and basically, you know, other B vitamins, and you'd get it at a shot. But it was vitamin B12, and they thought, hey, inject vitamin B12, and you won't get colds. And guess what? It didn't work. Quack, quack, quack.
Do you have a question about medical quackery? Well, Zorba's always happy to give it a shot. Just send us
give
an
it a
email
shot.
At...
I'm not... I mean, you think I don't hunt birds. Give it a shot. Zorba at WPR.org. Or, of course, through Facebook.
More of your calls coming up,
quack,
another
quack,
interesting
quack,
topic
quack,
to talk
quack,
about, and we tackle
quack, quack,
more listener
quack,
emails
quack, quack, quack.
All right here on quack. Zorba Pester on Your Health from PRX,
quack,
the
Public
Radio
Exchange.
Tom Clark with Family Doc Zorba Pastor on Zorba Pastor on Your Health. 800-462-7413 is our number. 800-462-7413. So, Zorba, what's this about the shingles vaccine?
Well, shingles, you had chicken pox as a kid. Do you remember chicken pox at all?
No, not at all.
See, I remember it because my mother put me in the room. She thought I would go blind. So she put me in the room, and it was dark. And there was no television, and it was summer, and it was outside, and it was hot. So I remember, you know, you couldn't scratch yourself. You would cover yourself with calamine lotion. Mm-hmm. But that virus lives in your body. And do you know what shingles is?
No.
It's that virus that lives there and pops up in what's called a dermatome, and it's painful. It actually lives in your nerves. It's in your nerves right now, dormant. And it can pop up at any time. And the shingles vaccine is basically a vaccine to keep the virus from popping up. Now, Merck invented the first shingles vaccine about 20 years ago, about 60%, 50 or 60% effective. The older you got, the less effective it was. And then GSK came out with the shingles vaccine about maybe 3 or 4 years ago, and it's a two-shot vaccine, and it's 95% effective. But guess what percent of the people in the population who are eligible, look at people over 65 who are eligible for the vaccine have actually gotten it.
A very small number.
It turns out it's roughly about 20 to 30% nationwide. And within our state, it's probably right in that number. And it's a two-part vaccine. It keeps you from getting shingles. Shingles is an awful thing to get. And the real question is, why are people not getting it? That's kind of the bottom line question. Well, I think with COVID, you know, we've been stuck on COVID for how long has it been?
Forever.
Forever, yeah. Right. I mean, there was before COVID and after COVID. And I think if you haven't gotten your shingles vaccine, if you haven't gotten the pneumonia vaccines that are important to get, the time is to call your healthcare provider, your doctor, nurse practitioner, or PA and say, what about getting the vaccine? When I looked at the data, and I looked at the data about the shingles vaccine, I was kind of – it's a lifetime vaccine. I was kind of shocked because I thought more people were actually getting it. There's another issue with the shingles vaccine. If you're on Medicare, it's covered on Medicare Part D. So Medicare Part D is actually in pharmacies. So you don't actually get the vaccine in your doctor's office. You actually get it in the pharmacy. Mm-hmm. And you don't need your doctor's permission to get the vaccine. It's like COVID. All you have to do is go in the pharmacy and say, do you have the shingles vaccine? And pharmacists all across our state, all across the country, will give the shingles vaccine. So you don't need a doctor's order. All you need is to go into any pharmacy where they actually give the shingles vaccine and get immunized. Nobody wants shingles, and the GSK vaccine works.
Interesting. 800-462-7413 is our number. 1-800-462-7413. Now, Zorba, let's see if we can help a listener in Cashton, Wisconsin. Hi.
Hi. Great to talk to you guys. I'm 61 years old. It started about 6 months ago. My neck started hurting, and I have had it x-rayed, and that's weird. Whenever I burp, like, it hurts, and it kind of,
When you burp, it hurts.
Yes.
I shouldn't be laughing.
Is that
right?
Funny?
No, I don't think that was funny.
I
have had it x-rayed just 3 weeks ago because it's been going on for 6 months, and I don't know how to start explaining it, but my doctor said, when he x-rayed, he said, your stomach or whatever, when I burp, it comes up into the back of my neck and even onto the side of my head, on the right side always. And I don't know, it started 6 months ago, and it just, I don't know if it's something that you can help diagnose or if it's just something I got to live with. I'm 61, don't drink, don't smoke. I don't know, I hurt my knee here a while ago, like a couple of months before this started. And I don't know if I hurt my neck somehow, that's what caused it.
So when you went to your doctor, they did the x-ray, which is logical. What did they say was on the x-ray?
Nothing.
Nothing. Okay. Which is sort of what I expected. Do you burp a lot?
I have a very active stomach. You know what I mean? Even it's weird. My it'll just gurgle and grunt and groan and especially after supper when you go to bed, it just gurgles away.
You're burping all the time?
Yes.
Are you married?
Oh, yes.
What's your wife say about it?
She laughs at it.
How about when you go out with friends?
Then you don't notice it, in public, whatever, but...
Well, maybe they notice it. You have to be careful. I mean, do you chew gum?
No, I don't.
You don't. Do you drink anything with like bubbles in it? Bubbly water, soda water, anything else?
Not really. But like I say, I take cinnamon a couple times a day and a few other things.
Uh-huh.
And,
got it. I understand.
I looked up, on the old internet, whatever. Uh-huh. Have you ever heard of cervogenic headache?
Well, I'd have to look up. I don't know what you're pronouncing, but there are a lot of different kinds of headaches. But I want to get back to this. So when you burp, you get pain in your neck.
Yes, and into the right side of my head.
That must be awful because you're burping all day, so you have pain in your neck all the day.
Yes,
it must be terrible, and it happens suddenly out of the blue.
Yes,
I mean it's only been going on for 6 months.
Yes.
I'm stumped.
I'm stumped.
I got to tell you something. We've been doing this. How long have we been doing this show, Tom?
Oh, a couple of years.
We've been doing this show for a quarter of a decade. And people always ask me, how do you answer all those questions? Well, I can't answer a lot of questions. I mean, I can answer some parts of it. I can give you some recommendations. Try to cut down on your burping. See whether or not taking some Tums or Rolaids might help with your burping. But I have no idea every time why you burp, unless every time you burp, you're going like a little baby and you're moving your neck. I am stumped by what's causing the pain in your neck. I mean, we may have listeners who have some good ideas who also are burpers and then have this problem. But I have no idea why every time you burp, you have pain in your neck.
Yes. And actually, the pain into the side of my right head up by my temple, that just started like 2.5 months ago. And one other thing, the first thing you think of is, oh my God, it's a stroke. But you can't have a stroke for 2.5-3 months. You would succumb, whatever. You know what I mean?
Yeah, you're not having a stroke because you would have had a stroke if you actually had a stroke.
Yep.
You have something going on, clearly in the musculoskeletal system, where when you're burping, you're moving something, moving your head, and it's causing some headache. And there are a lot of different kinds of
of headaches when you look at it. You've got an unusual headache that I have never heard of, a burping headache. Now, if I had a computer in front of me, I might be able to find something about it. And if I do, I promise that I'll do something in the show. But let me tell you something. You have stumped the doctor.
Cool.
Thanks for your call.
Thanks, guys. Great talking to you.
Great talking to you. You like that.
800-462-7413. You like that.
You like
that.
You were laughing for this.
1-800-462-7413. Okay, Zorba, let's crack open the Zorba Pastor on Your Health inbox and take a listener email. The following question came from Charles in Tennessee, who writes, "Hi, Zorba. I was wondering if sunscreen would help protect my skin against the oils that cause the reaction from wild parsnip. I wear long pants while hiking in the sun and would rather wear shorts. I thought that maybe a layer of sunscreen on my legs may keep the wild parsnip oil from reacting with the sunlight that burns my skin and causes blisters. Do you have any information that would help me?"
Well, I doubt very much if sunscreen would do it because, you know, the oil of wild parsnip, just like the oil of a poison ivy, can be very, you know, the skin reacts to it quite a bit. The short answer is no. The long answer is also no. I don't think it's going to do anything at all. I think you've got to continue to wear warm pants. It's not as if sunscreen protects you against poison ivy. It's not going to protect you against wild parsnip. You got to wear long pants when you're around it because otherwise, if you are like a lot of other people, you're going to react and it's really, really uncomfortable.
Do you have a healthy living question for the good doc? Just post on our Facebook page or send us an email at
Zorba@WPR.org.
1-800-462-7413 is our number. 800-462-7413. Now, let's hear a voicemail from a listener in Buffalo, New York.
What's the best way to heal internal hemorrhoid?
Good question. You know, hemorrhoids are a big problem. They are a pain in the butt.
Okay.
That's it. They're a pain in the butt. But the best thing to do with hemorrhoids when you've got an internal hemorrhoid is a sitz bath. So a sitz bath, you can buy them online. You can also buy them in drugstores. A sitz bath is you can sit in the bathtub 2 to 3 times a day with warm water and help your butt, but nobody can sit in a bathtub 2 or 3 times a day. I mean, it just doesn't happen because you got to undress, get in the bathtub. Sitz baths, have you ever seen one, Tom?
No.
They are these plastic things that fit on top of the toilet. You push up the toilet seat. They fit on top of the commode. They cost about $15, $20. You put it in there, and then you take warm water from the sink, and you put that, or you use it too, but usually take a pitcher of warm water from the sink, and you put it in, and then what you do is you put your butt onto this plastic thing in the toilet and it feels nice and warm and it shrinks the internal hemorrhoid. And you're smiling with that.
It really works.
It's an old-fashioned remedy that really works because you've got to get hot water into your butt and in order to actually shrink that hemorrhoid. And you do that 2 or 3 times a day. And we'll put an example of a sitz bath on our website, zorbapastor.org. But that is the best thing for internal hemorrhoids, better than anything that you can buy over the counter. A sitz bath, it doesn't cost very much. And if you've got any recurrent hemorrhoids, it's a wonderful thing. Have you ever had hemorrhoid problems?
No.
So you may have caused people to be a pain in the butt, but you actually have not had a pain in the butt
yourself. You got that right.
And you've got a smile on your face.
800-462-7413 is our number. 1-800-462-7413. Before we head out today, Zorba, as you know, we have some doctors who listen to the show, and quite often they'll send us emails or voicemails offering up their take on something that was talked about on the program. So we decided to create a brand new segment for this. It's called Dr. to doctor.
Doctor?
Doctor.
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 And doctor.
It's doctor to doctor. It's doctor to doctor. Hello, medicine.
Okay, Zorba. The following our staff here really are great.
They rock. Yeah. They rock.
The following question came from Dr. James, who listens to the show on WJCT in St. Augustine, Florida.
Heard Zorba say that you get fixed deficits in memory from repeated anesthesia and surgery and the whole complex of that. At the end, he said it's best to have local, but I don't understand that from what he said earlier. That's not in the studies, I don't think. Local, I don't think, basically that's saying that anesthesia causes the problem, but they don't know what causes the problem. So I'm not sure local will do the patient any better. Anyway, I'd like him to clarify this as an anesthesiologist, which is who I am. Thank you.
He brings up a really good point. What happens is people who have repeated anesthesia are often at risk for memory deficits. And he's right. We actually don't know why they actually have memory deficit, but we know that repeated anesthesia, for instance, more than 5 or 6 times, certainly more than 8 or 9 times. Certainly the older you get, the more at risk you are. And so when we talked about that, I talked about the fact that if you can have it with what's called conscious sedation, that's the amount of sedation that you have when you're having a colonoscopy or a gastroscopy, and under local anesthesia is better than putting you to sleep with general anesthesia. Great answer that he gave, great concept, and I love this doctor-to-doctor segment because it really is good to clarify things to medical professionals.
Yeah. Have a healthy living question for Dr. Zorba? Just post on our Facebook page or send us an email at
Zorba@WPR.org. And one more thing, it's great that doctors are listening to the show. I just love the fact that they do.
See you next week, Zorba.
I hope, Tom, God willing.
If you missed anything during the show or just want to stream the show online anytime, visit us on the web
at ZorbaPastor.org or, of course, through Facebook.
And don't forget, you can call us anytime to leave us your question at 800-462-7413. That's very good.
Yeah, thank you.
Zorba Pastor on Your Health is a production of Wisconsin Public Radio. It's not intended as a medical diagnosis, so please do check with your doc. Our executive producer is Carl Christensen. Our technical director is Brad Kohlberg. Our theme music is by
Leo and Ben Sidran.
For Zorba Pastor.
Can I
keep going?
Go ahead, please. Sorry.
I'm Tom Clark, asking you to join us.
I'm Zorba Pastor.
On the next. Zorba Pastor. On your health.
Did you miss something on today's show? Simply go to ZorbaPastor.org to catch up on all things Zorba. There you will find recipes from the show, links to the Facebook page, Zorba's Healthy Living articles, and you can subscribe to the weekly podcast. On the web, that's ZorbaPastor.org.